Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Now, in verse 32, Jesus makes the statement that if we're not careful, we read right through it and we don't give it the attention it needs, because in verse 32, he says this. He says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." Let's read that out loud together. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." So, in talking about the needs of life, the concerns of life, the things that we live for, the things that we go after, he said, the Gentiles seek these things, verse 32, things that your heavenly Father knows that you have need of. And in verse 33, he says, but instead of you going after those things and making them first in your life, he says in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that used to hold so much weight in your life, that were first in your life, he says they'll be added to you. Now, when he made the statement, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, he's contrasting the difference between you being born again and being a child of God, saved in the family of God, and the way you view life as a child of God versus the life that we had outside of Christ as Gentiles before our salvation. Because when you read the word Gentile in Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, it is referring to any person or persons that are outside the covenant of God. If I'm not in covenant with God, if I'm not in the kingdom of God, if I have not been born again, if I'm not in his family, then I would be called a Gentile. In the Old Testament, that would mean if you weren't of the lineage of Abraham, if you were not of the lineage of Abraham, a Hebrew, a Jew, then you were a Gentile. Didn't matter what nation, didn't matter what ethnicity, anyone outside the covenant of God was called a Gentile. In the New Testament, a Gentile is a person that doesn't know Christ, a person that's not entered into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And we'll show you that here in a minute in Ephesians chapter 2. So the Gentile is the person that is lost. They're outside the family of God. Jesus is saying, why are you viewing life the way Gentiles do? Why are you consumed with the cares of this world as if you were a Gentile, as if you did not have a heavenly Father, as if you did not have a covenant with God, as if you did not have a relationship with God? He's contrasting the two views, the one being the view of the Gentile and the other being the view of a child that's in the family of God. Now, to make sense of all this, I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Because there's a point, and really just one major point, that I want us to get to today. So go with me to Ephesians chapter number 2, and hopefully this will kind of shed some light on what I've just said. Because in the second chapter of Ephesians, you get a timeline. Everybody ought to take time to read Ephesians 2, because there's a timeline there. And the timeline shows who we were before Christ, and what happened as a result of salvation, and what God's will for our life is after salvation. When you read Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 3, it talks about who we were before we were saved, what we lived for. And verse 3 describes that. Verse 4 introduces God's mercy. In verse 5, how that he died for us and was raised so that we could be saved. Verses 7, 8, and 9 talk about his grace and how he saved us. Now let's come to verse 11. So by the time you get to verse 11 in Ephesians 2, you're now saved, you're walking with God, you're in the family of God, and notice what he says in verse 11. He says, wherefore remember that you being in time past, what? Gentiles. That's what you were in time past. That's who you were before you accepted Christ. You were a Gentile. And all that means is you were outside of the covenant of God. You were outside the family of God. A Gentile. He says, in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. And notice what that meant in verse 12. That at that time, not now, but at that time, You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the position you and I were in before Christ. Do you remember those days before Jesus when you were in the world and you didn't know the promise of God? You didn't know the word of God, the covenant of God. You didn't have the hope of God in your life. That's what it meant to be a Gentile. So when Jesus is saying in Matthew 6 to the disciples, to you and I, he's saying, look, why are you caught up? Why are you caught up in this world with the things that Gentiles are caught up with? You as a child of God, seek first his kingdom, and all these things that you have need of, these physiological needs, shall be added unto you when you put the kingdom first. Now, here in Ephesians 2, he's saying that when I was without Christ and I was a Gentile, I was separated from, according to verse 12, I was without Christ, I was an alien from the commonwealth, I was a stranger of the covenant of promise, I had no hope and without God in the world. Sadly, there are a lot of believers who have been born again, entered into the family of God, but they still view life as if they were lost. They still view life as if though they had no relationship with the Father. I was that person at once in my life. Let me give you this scenario, a little parable for you to might be able to see this. Imagine that you have a car, you were in a little accident, a little fender bender. Your car is in the shop to be repaired. And while it's in the shop, you don't have transportation. So you're calling on friends and whoever that will come pick you up, take you where you need to go. One day, someone close to you knows what you're going through and says, hey, don't you have insurance? Not yet. Well, you might ought to check your policy, because most insurance companies will provide a rental. And you may have provision for a rental, and you could be driving a rental car while your other car is being repaired. And so then you go back and you check your policy, come on somebody, and come to find out you have rights to a rental that you didn't realize your policy made available to you. So then once you find out that that was in the covenant, that that was in the policy, you made the call and said, hey, you know, I'd like to get a rental car. My insurance says that that is covered for me. And now you begin to walk in the benefit of a policy that you had even when you were thumbing a ride, because you didn't know that that provision was there. There are a lot of believers who do not know God's will. They don't know his promise. They're living in this world as if they have no heavenly Father, as if there's been no provision made for their life, as if God is not concerned about their life. And when we live that way, we're living like other Gentiles. We might be saved, but we're still walking beneath the promise and the plan and will of God, because we don't know his promise to us. We don't have that hope. And verse 12 says here in Ephesians 2 that when you were without Christ, you were an alien from the commonwealth, you were a stranger from the covenant of promise, you had no hope and without God in the world. But watch verse 13, come on somebody. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are now made nigh by the blood of Jesus. So I'm no longer separated from God. I've been joined to God by the blood of Jesus. I'm no longer separated from the commonwealth or the inheritance of Israel. I'm an heir of that. I'm no longer a stranger from the covenant of promise. The blood of Jesus has joined that promise to me. I'm no longer without hope, and I'm no longer without God in this world. I'm in a new position in Christ. So when Jesus in Matthew 6 is saying, seek first the kingdom and don't view life like the Gentiles view it, he's saying to the believer, he's saying to those that have accepted Christ and entered into his family, you don't have to view this life as a Gentile. You don't have to view this life without hope, because you have hope in Christ. You have hope by his blood. You have a Father in heaven who is aware of you, and his only mandate is that he be first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things that you've been living for, you'll find them just be added to your life. Come on, somebody. Now, Let's go over two chapters to Ephesians chapter 4. Because it appears to me in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that he is addressing a mindset of the disciple that has been infected or affected by the view of the world through the eyes and the conviction or lack thereof of the Gentile. It's almost like he's saying, why are you living like the Gentiles? Why are you viewing life like you're lost? Why are you viewing the kingdom in that position when you're a child of God, when your heavenly Father has a relationship with you? And it hit me in this, because I did not plan this, but it hit me. And here I have been saying to you guys for over a week or so now, that whatever you put first in your life controls your life. And it hit me that there's something else we need to look at, that whoever is first in your life controls your life. Because Jesus here was addressing how the disciples were viewing life like Gentiles, that influence of the lost, if you're not careful, would change the way you view the kingdom. The Lord just put this conviction in me that every relationship in your life, every single relationship in your life makes something easier. God designed relationship to make things easier. So every relationship in your life is making something easier. Now, that's not necessarily a good thing, because there are some things in our life we don't need help doing. You know as well as I do, there have been people in your life that made it easier to sin. There were people in your life that made it easier to go to the club. There were people in your life that made it easier for you to keep cursing like a sailor. There were people in your life that made it easier for you to keep drinking. Why are y'all so quiet? See, God designs relationship to make things easier. And so based on the people that I'm in the yoke with, the people that I call my friend, the people that I am aligned with, that is going to determine what becomes easier in my life. So in light of that, look what Ephesians 4 has to say. And I want to go back to this whole Gentile topic. Watch Ephesians 4, and let's look at it down in verse number 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. You there, just say amen. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. Read the rest with me. That you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. He's saying you cannot be walking around in life like Gentiles do. And that's what Jesus was saying in Matthew 6. He said Gentiles live like this. Gentiles have this mindset. But here we're reading in Ephesians 4. He said, listen, don't walk like other Gentiles walk. Don't walk like you used to walk. Don't think like you used to think. Don't behave like you used to behave. You're a child of God now. You've been born again into the kingdom. His kingdom is first now in your life. And a big part of that is going to be the people that are closest to you in this life and what they bring through their relationship, because God designed relationship to make things easier. When you read Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 talks about the power of two, that two are better than one, the importance of relationship. So relationship makes things easier. The question is, the people that you're in the yoke with, the people that you have koinonia with, fellowship with, what are they making easier for you? Is it easier for you to stay in the will of God because of the people in your life? Is it easier for you to be the man that God called you to be because of the men of God in your life? Is it easier for you to be the husband that God's called you to be because of the strong men in your life? Is it easier for you to be the wife, the mother, the woman of God that God has called you to be because of the women that are in your life? Is it easier for you to be a sanctified, pure, a youth with conviction and to walk the halls of your school in righteousness and uprightness because you've aligned yourself with friends that have conviction and that have truth in them? Every relationship makes something easier, and we need to have relationships that make sin hard and righteousness easy. Can you say amen to that? I got to have that in my life. God designed relationship to work that way. I'm going to show it to you here in just a moment, but let's finish this verse. He says here in verse number 18, speaking of the Gentile mindset, he said, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, the lost, the Gentile, they're alienated from this life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of blindness of their heart. That word blindness is actually translated hardness, that their heart is hard toward God. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Now that's a big word, lasciviousness. All it means is that there's no restraint. There's no restraint in my life. There's no restraint to sin. I do whatever I want to do as long as I want to do it. Lasciviousness. To work all uncleanness with greediness. The Gentile mindset is that of a consumer. It's all motivated by self. It's all based on greed. But verse 20 says, you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, Jesus, and have been taught by him, Jesus, as the truth is in Jesus, as the Sermon on the Mount, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now come over, if you would, to Matthew, and I want to go to the 11th chapter, Matthew chapter number 11. So relationships are designed to make things easier. If there's an objective that I'm trying to reach, I need someone in my life that's going to help me reach that objective. That's why this life that God has called us to live can't be lived without Jesus. Jesus makes living for God easier. Jesus makes prayer easier. Jesus makes worship easier. Jesus makes righteousness easier. Jesus makes loving folk easier. Jesus makes this whole thing easier. Can anybody say amen to that? Man, when I was lost and I viewed the saved, I could not understand that. I remember as a teenager sitting on my mama's couch, and my aunt and my sister came by one Sunday morning early on their way to church. And my aunt's sitting next to me on the couch, and she's writing out her tithes. And I just happened to be nosy and look over to her writing, you know, out a check. And it was like, I don't know, I want to say it was $80. And in my little teenage mind, I'm like, no way. And I looked at her and I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm making out my tithes. I said, wait a minute, you're writing the church a check for $80? She said, yes, that's my tithes. I pay my tithes every week. I'm like, no way. I was sitting there and stood up and faced her like, no way. You're giving the church $80? See, in my mind, I'm like, what I could do with that $80? My aunt had no business walking with me because I would not have made tithing easy. In my mind said, that's extreme. You are radical. You have gone way too far with this church stuff because I was unsaved. I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. So he didn't mean that much to me. Now, here's the thing. When I accepted Christ and came into the yoke with him, things that I used to view as hard now became easy. Hey, come on, somebody. See, watch what he says here in Matthew 11, verse number 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Read that part out loud. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke was designed to connect two oxen. You could take two oxen and make them function as one if you put them in the yoke. It's an old saying, hey, I'm thankful to be in the yoke with you. Being in the yoke means we're connected together. We're doing this thing together. We're in the yoke. So he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Why do I get rest when I enter the yoke with Jesus? Because he bears so much weight. He's so strong. He carries so much of the load, I end up resting. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things get added unto you. God's got a way of bringing things to pass in your life that you could have never brought to pass for yourself, but getting in the yoke with Jesus brings these things into my life that I might have never gotten in my life without him. Hallelujah. So for those that don't have Christ and they view this walk of faith, they say, man, I don't know how y'all do that. But they don't understand that it's not me that does it. It's Christ in me that does it. When I entered this yoke with Jesus, it was easy to stop drinking. Come on, somebody. When I entered this yoke with Jesus, it was easy to stop cussing. Hey, when I entered this yoke with Jesus, it was easy to stop hating. Things that were once hard in the yoke with Jesus became easy. Now watch what he says in verse 30. Read it with me. For my yoke is easy. You can stop right there for a minute. See, friendships, being in the yoke with the right people. Listen, being in the yoke with anybody is making something easier. See, it doesn't matter. Any yoke, any friendship, any relationship is making something easier. It was easy for you to show up late. It was easy for you to lose your job when you hang out with so-and-so because they done lost theirs. It was easier to make failing grades when you were best friends with someone who didn't care about getting the job done. It was easier to talk in class when you were connected to that person that was always talking in class. Come on, somebody. See, being with the wrong person might make the wrong thing easier. If you're entering a new year and you say, man, this year I'm getting in shape. I'm getting in shape. I'm getting my act together. And you got a girlfriend that says, girl, me too. I'm getting in shape this year too. You're like, really? Really? Well, let's be partners. Let's do this together. And so, you know, homegirl tells other homegirl, hey, we're going to do this together. Ain't neither one of y'all been in the gym in years. And so, but you're going to help each other get in shape, and it's all good. New year, let's do this. So you wake up in the morning, supposed to go to the gym. You're thinking about, do I really want to do this? So you send her a text, hey, do you feel like working out today? She texts back, I was just about to ask you the same question. Yeah, I'm feeling a little slow today. We had a long weekend. Girl, we did too. Want to try tomorrow? Sounds good. See, I don't need to be with somebody that's trying to get it together because I'm trying to get it together. I need to be with somebody that's already got it together. I need somebody that's going to send me a text and say, at the gym, where you at? See, every relationship is going to make something easier. So if I'm getting in shape, I can't be with somebody that's not in shape. No offense. But you can't help me. I can't help you. I need to be with someone that's going to make this whole process easier. I need to be with someone that's going to make living for God easier. I need to be with someone that's going to make prayer easier. I need to be with somebody that's going to make giving easier. Hallelujah. Now, with that in mind, come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And you know right now the people in your life that make the wrong things easy. So you got, you know, old boy done text you up talking about, hey, come over, watch the game. But you know what they're going to be doing over there while they're watching the game? They're going to be over there, you know, drinking and cursing and doing all the stuff you say you don't do no more. And you tell your wife, hey, I'm going over to Joe's house for the game. She says, you sure you want to do that? Yeah, you know, I might lead him to Jesus. And she said, you know, they're doing all the things that you now say you have stopped. And that environment sure going to make that easy for you to go back. Yeah, y'all got quiet on that one. Well, I can't believe he's bringing drinking and smoking and all that up at church. Listen, that's what needs to be brought up at church. You don't... ain't no sense in us coming to the Lord's house with this facade that we don't face any kind of temptation, that there's nothing going on out there. Listen, we're all facing this issue. You say, what is the issue? It's you. The issue is you. We all have these issues. And so to strengthen our walk of righteousness, to strengthen our walk with God, we've got to put ourselves around people that won't make our weakness easy. Because you don't need a support system for some things. Where are you going? I'm going to meet so-and-so. Why? I just need some support. She would give you the wrong kind. See, watch this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You there, say amen. You know, and people will walk away from good people. Oh, my goodness. People will walk away from good people. Walk right out of a good person's life, a healthy relationship's life. They'll walk right out of it and because something's going on in here. They'll walk away from the kind of people they need to be around and then look back and say, I was in people bondage. Wait a minute. If you were around people that kept you living right, that kept you honoring God, that kept you walking with Him, that kept you in this word, that made you ashamed of things that you ought to be ashamed of, that wasn't people bondage. That was God strengthening your life through the people He put in your life.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.